Blog Talk Radio.
Let's see it, friends, and welcome to The World Transformed. This program is your guide to an astounding future that lies ahead, one that will be here sooner than you think, and one that you have an important role to play in bringing about. At The World Transformed, we want to introduce you to what may be the greatest transformation of them all, the one that begins with considering and acting on the almost limitless possibilities that lie before us, and that ends somewhere beyond the reach of the human imagination. So, when does this amazing future begin? Well, today is the day. My name is Phil Bauermaster, and with me in the virtual studio is my co-blogger, co-futurist, and co-host, Stephen Gordon. Hello, Stephen.
Hey, Phil. How are you?
Well, I am super fantastic. Happy Friday. How are you, my friend?
Glad to get to the end of a long week, but hey, this is going to be a fun show tonight. Talking robots.
You know, we're talking robots. We've been working our way through Thomas Frey's 72 stunning things in the future that will be common 10 years from now that don't exist today. And we're on the topic of AI. So I took a little liberty and I made it robots because, you know, it's just so much more vivid when you say the robot takes my jobs, writes my book, treats our illness, steals my girlfriend, right? Whatever the, scenario you want to create. When you make it a robot rather than an AI, it just sounds... I don't know. It's a marketing thing. Just take my word for it. Robot.
I won't second guess you on issues of marketing. I promise you, Phil. I agree completely.
You are the only one who won't, and I appreciate that there's somebody who doesn't. We're gonna talk about some of this stuff. These are things that Tom says will be commonplace in 10 years. So, gosh, you know, we've talked about a lot of these, but we don't necessarily put a time frame around them. Let's leap into it here and see where we're going to be in 10 years. This first one is very attention-getting, best-selling biographies written by artificial intelligence. Let me tell you what's interesting about this one is I think he chooses his category very carefully here. He's not saying best-selling novels. Or even best-selling books of nonfiction on general interest topics. But a biography is a very specific thing. It's the story of somebody's life. The AI can hone in very, very specifically on, you know, getting the information and telling that particular narrative. And, I think if we're going to see best-selling books of any particular kind written by AI, definitely biographies would be one of the likely categories.
I agree. But I would say that in 10 years, I wouldn't expect it to be solely written by Watson, okay? I would expect it to be co-written by Watson, okay? And the final draft, gone over by, you know, someone who knows how to, a human who knows how to add flavor and interest to something. But I could be wrong. It could be the AI has advanced so much that it knows what we would find interesting and tells it in such a way that, you know, it's good at, you know, at telling the story. So
with deep learning, we may find that AIs will just be writing circles around humans, right? That they will be so much more optimized to making things interesting to us that it'll be like, oh, well, I just let the AI do it. It's better that way.
Yeah.
But you raise a good point. If it's in any way collaborative.
Every book is Pulitzer Prize-winning quality coming out of these AIs. Yeah, at some point you just go, well, crap, let them do it.
Let them do it. But yeah. I will say this, because you made a good point with the collaboration. Even if the AI is doing 99% of it and the human author is only doing 1%, or even if the AI is doing 100%, you know what? I don't think the AI is going to get credit 10 years from now. I think that there will be a human author listed as the person who wrote the book.
And that sounds like a marketing thing as well, Phil. And again, I'm going to defer to
you. Oh, well, this deference is killing me. I'm enjoying it very much. Yeah. As a marketing genius, I should be used to that, but I'm just not for some reason. Don't know why. I think people will continue to take credit for it long after people aren't really doing much of anything there. Which brings us right to the next one, Stephen. What do you think?
Well, legal documents written by artificial intelligence. I think that that's going to happen. And, I mean, LegalZoom has already begun the process of demystifying my particular profession and allowing individuals without a law degree to handle some aspects of their, you know, of their legal needs, just by getting on there and getting the right form, you know, to file something without an attorney, and some simple things. Maybe it's not a bad, you know, maybe it's not a the worst of things. But my advice, as an attorney, is get an attorney.
Naturally, it would be. Well, and again, I think
my rather self-serving advice is still hire a member of my profession. But I think that as we move on down this road, I think that artificial intelligence will actually be tailoring specific documents to a specific need of a specific person. And that's a long way away from what LegalZoom is doing right now. So, I don't doubt this. I really don't.
But to swing it back to the first one, I still think a human lawyer is going to get paid when an AI writes a legal document for a long time.
I'm not so sure.
I'm not so sure.
I mean, LegalZoom is there's a lot of legal work that has been denied my profession, you know, because of LegalZoom. And I think that there's a fair chance that, there are going to be, a lessened need for attorneys as time goes by because of stuff like this. It's every profession, you know.
For sure.
I don't expect a lot of tears to be shed in our audience over fewer attorneys, but it'll be every profession as well. So,
you know what? I'm not even going to go there. There are so many lawyer jokes that I could divert onto right now. I'm not going to do it because you know what? Those are really in bad taste, Stephen. I think they really are. Those are terrible, those jokes, and I don't tell them.
you would never deign to laugh or tell one.
I just have heard that such a thing exists. But the other thing I was going to say is, let me tell you the one that will go on with a human getting credit for it, and that's legal opinions written by judges, quote unquote. Right. But that's not really a change. The only change here is it'll be an artificial intelligence writing it for the judge rather than a clerk writing it for the judge. Right. That's the that's the job that gets stolen.
The judge is still getting, you know, again, none of my local judges do this. You guys
are
brilliant.
I was talking about those other judges.
All the other judges in the other jurisdictions. But
I specifically met the other judges. OK, good point.
Yeah.
You know what? Let's just roadrunner away from this. This is not any fun. How about this AI menu selection based on diet for both restaurants and at home? How about that? How about the robot telling you what to eat? As long as it's good, right? As long as the robot can deliver, I think I'm okay with that, especially if it's making me healthier. But
absolutely.
I don't know. I'm a hard one to tell what to eat. I always have been.
Yeah.
Do you think?
I think that the robots will figure it out, and what your particular tastes are, Phil, and would be able to tailor a menu that would be good for you, and that I think you'd enjoy. It would surprise me if this were not the case, and I think that people will want to use these things at home. I think this business about using in restaurants, I think that's just the system that's already with you at all times.
Yeah.
You know, that you normally depend on when you're at home. You know, it can help you in a restaurant too. You know, and,
yeah, it's your little jar. Here, order this. But you know what? We're going to say this when we order it and see if they'll give us a side of that, because I think you would enjoy that. And look, they have this on the menu, so they could also make that. Oh, yeah. That's what you really want.
They might even call ahead and say, okay, we have this specific, you know, thing that, you know, off menu that we'd like you to fix, and we'll be.
I
there
see you have all the ingredients from your other dishes, therefore it shouldn't be.
Yeah, here's the recipe. Go at it.
Okay, I'm particularly
imagine if this thing that is helping you in this way and is calling ahead to the restaurant is not calling a human chef that's going to get irritated with that. It's calling the robotic food preparer at the restaurant, you know, and who has no problem following, you know, that sort of direction. So
it's got parameters within which it can make changes. And if, as long as the request is within those parameters, it's not going to spit in your food or anything like that, right? It's not going to dirty look or any of the rest of it. I like it. Okay, how about this? Full body PET scanners with instant AI medical diagnosis. I think we can both agree that that is definitely coming. This might even be, you know, how like today you have a household, your own blood pressure gauge and, you know, scale to stand on and devices like that. I wonder, will we be far enough along that we'll be able to have those in the home? Maybe not, but maybe we will. In any case, I think the technology will exist and people will be doing this a lot. This is something that I think we'll see going on.
Right. I think now, you know, PET scanners, maybe not so much, but I could certainly see a system that's, you know, connected to your toilet, for example, that could do urinalysis on the fly. You know, I mean, I'm not liking the looks of this. You're getting a little bit borderline diabetic. Maybe we need to make some changes in your life, that kind of thing. I could easily see things like that coming on board in 10 years. That's in fact, I would be a little bit surprised if we weren't seeing this. Now, 10 years is not a lot of time, is it, Bill? I mean, we're talking, you know, the next president, if the next president gets two terms, which I kind of doubt, but if the next president gets two terms, you know, we're pretty much most of the way there by the end of the next presidency. I mean, but still, things are advancing so quickly. I would be surprised if some of these things like this, in-home medical diagnosis, is not a big part of you know, the way we live. So yeah.
I think if our 500th episode week taught me anything or reminded me of anything, it's that an awful lot can happen in 10 years. So yeah. I don't count anything out. I just on that presidential thing, I wanted to mention, I don't know if you've seen this meme, but I kind of like it. It says, do you think it would be okay this time if we just didn't have a president and everybody said, we'll try real hard to be cool?
I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's like not even one term maybe for the people we have running out. Anyhow, I'm sorry. I digress. And this next one is cool. This is an extension of the menu one, or it's a similar kind of idea. AI selection of movies and television shows based on moods, ratings, and personal preferences. Personal preferences is important because I tend to immediately want to give a movie that sounds interesting to me a break if everybody hates it. You know what I mean? It's like if it just gets a ton of bad ratings, then I'm like, okay, it's probably not very good. But if it gets like dismal ratings, like, oh, there might be something there. This could be it. It's just, you know.
It's touched a nerve.
It's just a personal fluke on my part. You know? But you know what I'm saying? It's like the AI will take all that in consideration, right? Oh, well, he likes movies that everybody else hates just because they hate them. So I have to tell him.
You know, the AI will think,
so he knows,
you know,
to like it.
Right? I work for a guy that has no discernment in movies. Let's give him this crap. He's bound to love it.
But you have to tell him. You have to tell him everybody hates it, or else he'll just go, well, that wasn't very good. I didn't like it.
He's definitely going to like Sharknado 8. He's going to like it. Oh God!
This guy's easy to pick movies for. What is everyone else refusing to watch? Okay, give him that one. This next one, it falls into the same category, and I think it's really interesting. AI music selection based on moods, ratings, and musical tastes. You know what can happen here with biofeedback, with AI is actually scanning how we respond to things. And this applies to music. It will also apply to art, to movies, to food, to all kinds of experiences. We're going to actually learn about what we like in a way that we haven't been able to before, because the AI can break right through the barriers, right? If it's getting feedback as to what our brain is actually saying, you know, or our heart rate or whatever, it will be able to see beyond our biases and know what we like. We might find that we like a style of music that we never even thought about, right? You know, that maybe we've heard a few times and haven't we never actually connected with, but like everything we really like in music is there, it turns out. And we discover that because, the connections are there, but they're too subtle for us to see. It's almost this like aesthetic journey of self-discovery, I think, that AI is going to enable. People are going to, people take a lot of pride in their taste in things. That they like a particular style of music or a particular kind of food. I made a comment the other day about craft beer, right? That it gives people an opportunity to use beer as a means of sophistication signaling, right? Which the beer didn't give you a chance to do that before. You had to go to whiskey or wine to do that. So there's all this like ego that we've got built up around this stuff, but the AI could actually break through all that and say, you know what, man, try this. You're going to love this. And you take a drink and go, boy, that is the best thing ever. And it's like Miller Lite, right? But the AI has actually identified the thing that that you like. I don't know. People, maybe they wouldn't like that. Huh? Maybe that.
I think that people will, you know, the quantified self people. And I think to some extent that'll be everybody, right?
Yeah.
Are going to love this. Like you say, it's a journey of self-discovery, and we need a partner in that. And to some extent, we don't have that. I mean, we gravitate to people, to friends that have some of the same tastes as we do, right? I mean, in part because being around these people, we learn, it turns out I do like Rocky movies or whatever, because you saw this, movie with your buddy, right? But this is something that could be tailored to you in such a way that you learn, not only do you like Rocky movies, but you also, love Das Boot, the German U-boat film that you would never have bothered to watch because it's got subtitles. Now you know that you love it because this thing is with you and knows what you like. I think people will love this stuff. I agree completely. We've already got this, but it's going to get better.
Yeah. People will look back on how did we used to figure out what we liked before the AIs came along and helped us.
Well, like my kids ask me, well, how did y'all keep track of where your friends were when you were a kid and stuff? I mean, I said we didn't, man. I mean,
we didn't. The world was a huge mystery. If the phone didn't ring, you just didn't know. It's all there was to it.
That's right. and you learned to be okay with that,
Yeah. What alternative was there, Yeah.
I'd be like 14, I was like 13, 14 years of age, and, school's out for the summer, and my mom would say, okay, we'll see you, make sure you're home before dark,
Right, exactly.
I'd hit the bicycle and be gone all day. That's the sort of thing that would be considered parental neglect nowadays, right?
So exactly.
But it's a different world we live in, to some extent, this sort of thing. How did we live? How will we live? I feel like we lived without it before. We watched a lot of movies and listened to a lot of music that was just crap. About music and movies that were only somewhat as to our taste.
They were okay. We spent a lot of time on okay stuff when we could have had great stuff. I think that'll really be the difference. All right, how about this? AI sleep optimizers will control all of the environmental factors, heat, light, sound, oxygen levels, smell, positioning, vibration levels, and more. I love this one, but this, when you read this one in conjunction with the last one, it's like, don't go camping now, right? Once you get hooked on having an AI sleep optimizer, would you ever be able to sleep under other circumstances, I wonder? That's the... Right. because you're given this AI complete environmental control, right? And it's created the perfect like cocoon for you to sleep in, right? As long as you've got that, you're perfect, right? But you're ruined for sleeping anywhere else after that, I think. Probably be worse.
Gosh.
I don't know.
It's I'm reminded of you remember this is from way back, Phil. You remember the old Gil Gerard Buck Rogers television show?
Oh yes, absolutely.
Okay,
yeah.
That's one of the things that was a technology he had when he showed up in the future. You know that they said you'll go to sleep inside of 10 seconds. This is a perfect optimized sleeping system here.
Right.
He says that's ridiculous. And then he lay down. And he's gone in like 3 seconds. biofeedback or what's involved in that sort of thing. I don't know. Something that enables the type of brain waves that is conducive to sleep. Who knows? But I would want it. I mean, wouldn't you, Phil? I mean, so you are well rested all the time because you had a perfect night's sleep.
I would buy one tomorrow if it was available. Absolutely. Yeah. I want it, even if it ruins me for sleeping everywhere else. At least, most nights I do sleep great. Yeah,
that's right. The Serta Perfect Sleeper. They've sold a few of those over the years. So I would imagine the Serta people will be all over this as soon as it becomes available. So
the next one, we should spend actually 20% of the show, which we don't even have left now, on this. But AI hackers, sooner or later, someone will figure out how to use even our best AI technology for all the wrong purposes. Actually, all you have to do on this one is imagine everything we've talked about now being in the hands of somebody who's evil, right? Every single one of these, either somebody, who wants to harm people and gives them bad medical diagnoses or, is cranking out flawed legal documents or just, think of the... think of the damage that could be done by an AI that knows all your inner quirks and your medical stuff, and it's giving you this menu that's actually killing you, right? Feel like you're enjoying all this good food, and it's actually taking you in the wrong direction. All of this could be hacked. All the applications we're mentioning here, and all the obvious ones, defense and energy and financial and the whole world is suddenly subject to hacking, which it already is. But now with intelligent agents, right? If you take that smart program and make it an evil smart program, pretty dangerous stuff.
Well, and we're going to have to. And there's no way to get around this, Phil. As I've said before in other shows, the solution to problems like that is just more technology.
Yeah.
Hitting the gas even harder so that you can develop the defense to attacks like that as fast as the attacks are developed. Right. So, so we just got to be on top of this stuff and have the defenses built along with the systems themselves. And so, you're going to see, things that are exploited. I mean, auto drive cars. You can imagine, what could a hacker with an evil intent could do with, if they were able to hack into a car that's driving people around. We just have to.
For all the benefits, we're going to have tremendous risk in this future, this AI-driven future. That's the bottom line on that one. Okay, so we're going to add to the list. We've got two items. You had mentioned on Monday's show something that had just come to our attention on Sunday, which is this radical new brain scanning technology, which is allowing to give resolution down to the individual neuron level. That's going to feed into a lot of different potential AI applications, including several that we talked about here tonight. You can imagine where that level of understanding of the brain could play huge into things like helping people select movies and music and their diet and understanding their level of health. But also, ultimately, it leads to creating much more human, much more empathetic, and much more capable AIs, doesn't it? And one of the key capabilities that we're looking for, and one of the things I would expect to see within 10 years, is a true conversational user interface, solving that problem we talked about a couple weeks ago of computers that they don't understand language. I think in 10 years, who knows, you can't say what a computer understands or not, but we will have computers that effectively understand language, and it will be able to interact with us as though they do, which is how they'll be able to write books in the first place, right? I guess really this is kind of a restatement of the first one. But But, you know, I think we're going to...
We all want Jarvis, don't we? I mean, you know, we want... You know, we want to be Tony Stark down in our garages deciding, you know what, the world needs this or the world needs that. And let's open up a project, Jarvis, and let's start changing the world. You know, we want that powerful AI that is going to partner with us to do these great things. And you have to have a conversational interface for it to, you know, to get real, right? So
exactly.
I mean,
yeah, because you got to order it around. You got to, make requests at it. The thing is, you want something that you can lay a concept out. The AI understands the concept and begins acting on it. Okay, so that does it for that list. We got to move on to it's Friday, and we're not going to neglect. By golly, on Friday we geek out. It's time for some other geek. What do you got for us this week, Stephen?
Phil, are you familiar at all with the phenomenon of escape rooms? Have you ever heard of an escape room? You know what I'm talking about when I say that.
Is that like a safe room? Like, wasn't there a Jodie Foster movie about that? It's like it's a room
that's a safe room. That's a safe room.
Yeah.
A safe room, is a place you could lock yourself in and, if someone's invaded your home or something. An escape room is like, it's a game, okay? And, if you go to a convention or something that has any kind of geeky thing to it, you're going to have escape rooms that will be available to convention goers and things like that. What it is, I mean, you simply go in a room and they, sort of lock the door. If you had to leave, you could leave. But basically, you're in this room, and in order to escape the room, you have to solve these puzzles, okay? And there's things maybe scattered throughout the room that you've got to discover. And what does this mean? And that, and you solve the mystery, and then the door opens, and you've had a wonderful, maybe hour and a half, 2 hours, right? Just
right.
Having fun with a game, basically. Escape rooms basically started digitally. It was sort of a video game kind of thing. Even the game Myst, in a way, is sort of an escape room kind of thing, almost.
Right.
If you recall that
sure.
way you interacted with that particular game. Well, that's so escape rooms are in the real world these days, and it's kind of an expensive thing to do, and it was something I wanted to try out with my kids. Well, there's this company called Think Fun that came out with this idea of escape room in a box, okay? And, I've been big into board games with them and stuff like that. Well, this is, what it is like a series of envelopes, basically, and, the way it's set up. You solve, there's a scene on the outside of the envelope that serves as, if you were paying for an escape room sort of thing, you have actors involved that you'd be paying, that the room would be decorated in a certain way. This does its best to duplicate this experience, for a box that you could buy down at your local Target for $20, okay? And instead of paying, hundreds of dollars to have that experience with a couple of other people. So what did I think? Well, we went and purchased it yesterday, and had a great time. We spent basically 2.5 hours, three of us, escaping the room. And the mystery at Stargazer's Manor is the name of this escape room in a box, and kind of a neat thing. I don't want to give anything away for someone who wants to see it, so no spoilers here, but it's a mystery. The year is 1866, and a mysterious man has kind of disappeared, and you're going to go investigate his mansion, and it's fun. I mean, just really fun. And we had a good time doing it, had a great couple hours. Now, it's a one-time play game. This thing is used up for me and my two kids who did it with me. But
because once you've solved it, you've solved it. I mean, I've
solved it. That game is solved. But I said, well, I hate that we, it seems kind of a waste that all of this is out here now. What I need to do is be able to repack it. And of course, I went online and found at the website for this particular company, here's how you repack it and pass it on to your buddy. And and so I did. I repacked it, and it's ready to go for the next group that wants to try it. And so, do I recommend it highly? I mean, $20 for a couple hours of fun, even if you don't pass it on, that's pretty good. That's pretty good fun, and you get the escape rooms experience much cheaper than you would get otherwise. So yeah, I highly recommend it. I think it's something you particularly, Phil, and much of our audience would enjoy. So yeah, highly recommend.
That sounds awesome. Well, I'm gonna that one I am definitely gonna check out. I'll try it with my wife and daughter and her husband one of these nights. We'll see if we can get everybody together and give that a try.
Yeah, y'all would have a big time with this. Quite seriously, you would.
That sounds like some serious other geek. All right, well, we've done the future. We've done the geek. We've done the week, Stephen. Once we're done geeking, we've wrapped up another week. Well, it's been great. We're going to be back next week with three more shows as we continue working our way through this list of items of things that are going to be common knowledge in 10 years. Look forward to being with you all then. Stephen, great talking with you. And until next time, live to see it.